is living the life she wants, staying grounded and shooting for the moon with Federation philosophy. We have a member who's been building a career at NASA and also in her own life. And she and I have come into the Federation in a similar time period, so it's been a joy to observe her journey and really her strength in applying the Federation philosophy and building both her career and her personal life. She is truly an example of what thousands of blind people do in this movement on a daily basis to apply our philosophy to living the lives they want. So here to talk to us about her journey from Maryland is Dina Lambert.
Thank you. Good morning. All right, a few months back, President Riccobono reached out to me and he said, "Hey, are you interested in sharing part of your story?" I was like, "Okay, who, me?" "Okay, what a part of this story do you want me to share? The part that I have more gray hairs than I did 3 years ago? Or that some of my girls on New York New Year's Eve night, a little bit of mimosas in us. We were decorating our vision boards, but we failed to include a whole pandemic where we would be stretched and tested beyond our wildest dreams and fears. Or the part that says that I would have to dig down deep in my soul for all the courage that I would need to pursue my dreams of working in the aerospace industry and to become a mom, even if it meant there was failure or that I would be walking much of that journey alone." He said, "Yes, all of it." And I would say, "Okay, say less." It was 20 years ago, almost to the day, that I came to the convention and introduced myself at the 2002 Louisville Convention as a scholarship winner. Thank you. I was excited, I was nervous, I was hopeful because I saw and heard so many things at that convention. I met businessmen and women, engineers, parents, students. I went to the parties, all of the parties. Some of y'all are just waking up now for some of those parties. But I basically experienced a microcosm of our society as a whole. Everyone was there. So, someone who is 20 years older, with a few more gray hairs, and hopefully wisdom to share, I'd like to take a few moments with you to have a conversation. Now, Mark mentioned something. He said y'all would be like talking to family. So, is that okay? Okay, all right. So there's a saying, teach the young early what we have learned late. I hope that even some of you will glean something that is helpful, challenging, but would feel real, which is a part of my story. Even though I am the one standing here with this honor before you, there are hundreds, possibly even thousands of our Federation family members who are in the room or in our affiliates who could share wisdom and insight that could positively shift your trajectory in your life as an individual, living out the version of your life that you deeply desire, even if you haven't realized it yet. So 2.5 years of living in a pandemic have forced us to shorten our time horizon, meaning that we have to place more urgency on the decisions and actions we take. I can only imagine what the initial NFB founders and leaders were facing when they formed this organization that would provide strength, unity, and community to blind people who were fighting just for the right to simply live and attain self-determination. How this showed up for me was growing up in a home where there was absolutely no doubt that my mom and dad cared and loved for me deeply. But as a young adult, I realized a sense of urgency to finding that sense of confidence to pursue my dreams and make my own decisions. Now, it just wasn't about going to college or picking a degree. It was even something more basic, like choosing what I wanted to wear or doing my own hair as a whole 16-year-old. And even choosing to use a white cane without any fear or shame of what my mama would say or her disapproval. That confidence did not come from just one instance, but it took understanding that while I would survive and likely even earn a degree, I would not seize that gift of freedom and self-agency that you can observe in so many people here. I would likely end up living a life where others would make decisions for me. So after attending a Voc Rehab transition seminar in Arkansas, where's my Arkansas family? And meeting a ragtag bunch of people and staff from the Louisiana Center for the Blind, I was shook. A few weeks later, Joanne Wilson, with all of her gusto, helped me navigate a conversation with my parents that led to me attending LCB. That simple phone call was the Federation in motion. The core values of the NFB leaders was fully alive in that conversation and in subsequent conversations in my brief time at LCB. My point in sharing this is that the feeling that you get in your gut that says that there is more for you, don't wait, don't second guess yourself, just go and tell somebody, but do not shortchange yourself or the process of training. You may have noticed that I mentioned that I was a student at LCB for a short period of time. I left LCB after only 8 weeks of training to go off to college. But I would realize that I had indeed shortchanged the training and mentorship I needed. Even though attending a training center is not the only way to gain confidence and independence, there is something about the process and our method of positive philosophy of blindness and structured discovery that is potent and well measured. I went off to college as an electrical engineering student at the University of Arkansas my head was full of knowledge, but short on wisdom. For example, a few blind freshmen, we had our own little crew, found that the laundry facilities were not fully accessible. And in a response to that, of us raising this issue to university leadership, the university responded with the offer for the university's housekeeping staff to do our own laundry for us. Yeah. Now, tell the 17-year-old version of me, that seemed like a victory. Hey. But even in the short time at LCB, helped me identify that ugly, sinking feeling that was, am I perpetuating the lower expectations of the blind? And this needed to stop. I share this example with a bit of embarrassment, because I haven't told anyone this story, but to present a tangible example of the power that can be wielded by a collection of blind people, but how wisdom would have said, okay, are you real? Are you kidding me? This will point out the ripple effect and influence that we have on each other's lives. I did realize that while we had run the battle of making the university do something, anything, we were well on our way to losing the war on misconceptions and poor beliefs on the capability of the blind. What impression did that one housekeeping staff member have when she had to deliver multiple loads of laundry to the blind students? And you know she had to spill the tea with her family when she shared what she had to do to help blind students. Again, it wasn't right. But for brevity and to save face, I did, in fact, eventually learn how to do my own laundry. Thank God. And come up with a simple alternative solutions and went on to complete my degree. After graduation, I encountered rejection after rejection and saw some shifty job requirements after I returned home from another failed job interview. I had to shift gears and get creative. I started attending regional and national conferences and organizations such as the Society of Black Engineers, Microsoft, and others with the assistance of Voc Rehab, my university with a small grant they gave me, and my own personal funds from working at work studies. This was called self-investment. And I began broadening my mentor base with not only academic advisors, but experienced professionals from my Greek organization, Delta Sigma Theta Incorporated, and my frats, Alpha Phi Alpha, and my local community of both sighted and blind leaders who I could learn from. Finally, almost after a year of graduation, I received the call that I had dreamed of. It was NASA calling. Fast forward to today, I am now the DEIA lead for NASA's Early Stage Innovations and Partnerships. Which is a functional leadership position within a $350 million portfolio. We are tasked with identifying, promoting, and advancing the transformational space technology that helps NASA achieve its on-Earth and long-duration missions. We are the widest and lowest entry point into NASA's Space Technology Readiness Level, or TRL. With over 700 funding opportunities, we are the most outward-facing technical component NASA has, with funding vehicles that reach small businesses, researchers, citizens, and students. Now, 15 years ago, probably more, I remember hearing hesitations as to why the NFB was funding and moving out on the Blind Driver Challenge. And at the time, it did seem a little far-fetched, a little crazy. But as I review proposals and engage in topic-specific technology research opportunities outside of blindness, what the NFB has been doing is the first step toward radical innovation. While we may not see all of the rewards and benefits now, I am confident that we will see them in the near future with spin-off technology and techniques that we will advance with more innovation. So right now, I want to make you aware of a pilot program that we just started, targeted to students, entrepreneurs, and researchers who have even just an idea, but you need some support to bring it to market. It's our Innovation Core, or iCore pilot, where we will provide $10,000 for applicants coming in, offer technical assistance in order to accelerate your idea and help you build the network you need to move on towards larger funding tiers, possibly to the tune of $400,000. So I would like to see more names of people in this room and on the scholarship winner list on as applicants in our funding opportunities. So I want to close with a personal experience. Many of you may remember that I wanted to be a mom. After much thought, prayer, and skepticism, I landed on one question. Would I be happy with how I live my life and the decisions that I made if I did not pursue this? With the support of my chosen community and the family within the NFB, I asked, can I choose to say yes to this life I wanted? Now, this question was specific to my choice to become a single mom, but it has application elsewhere. For you in the audience, this may hit home in other ways, whether it is employment or an education, relationship, or something else. Many people outside of the adoption community, which is what I chose to pursue motherhood, may not know that in private adoption, the expectant mom who is voluntarily choosing to place her child with a family is offered an opportunity to choose the family she wants. The 16-year-old me would have said, why would she choose me? I am blind. The version of myself at that time didn't have many blindness or independent skills. And why would any expectant mom choose me for one of the biggest and permanent decisions in her life? But the 37-year-old me was bold enough to say, why not? I've observed this in myself over and over again, and sometimes in the blind community, that we can easily talk ourselves out of opportunities and choices when we listen to the lingering voices of doubt and misconceptions. But I dare each of us to say, why not me? And have the actions and decisions that reflect that same energy. Why not me? Even if there's failure along the way, there is an acceptable level of risk that must be wagered for many powerful innovations, partnerships, decisions, and choices. Oh, and let me go back to that ripple effect that I mentioned earlier. It indeed came back full circle. In order to receive approval to become an adoptive mom, I had to pass a home study test with a licensed social worker. Let's call it the white glove test. And it covers all, and I mean all, areas of your life. My fear of rejection drove me to sign up for courses that were above and beyond my agency's requirement for prospective families. And after one frantic call with her, the social worker said, Dina, please stop. For one, you're causing too much paperwork. But these courses are way too expensive. I know that you are quite capable of being a well-rounded and safe mother. And after she completed her report, because of course she can't tell me what she's thinking while she's writing her report, I said, how did you know? And she shared that she had observed multiple blind people leading families, managing classrooms, and going about their lives with dignity, respectability, and grace. In part, that was enough for her. So if you are that blind person she observed, I want to say thank you. And I leave you with the charge to feel empowered knowing that you have influence in achieving and positively shifting not only your life as a blind person, but in others you may not even know the name of. Thank you so much.